My name is Carl Carafell, and this is Turnbuckle Talk. Listening to this back on podcast format or watching this on Turnbuckle Studios YouTube page, make sure that you're joining us live on Tuesdays over at twitch.tv/lovewrestlingca to be part of the conversation. Today, I have got my good friend Pluggo with me to join in on the conversation this week. Pluggo, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's Tuesday. What's going on here? What is this?
Right? It isn't Wednesday.
I thought this was beards, and then somebody goes, that's in 2 days, Pluggo. What's wrong with you? Learn how to tell time.
Right? Between two beards on Thursdays and All Elite Sidecast on Wednesdays, where you guys can listen in to just some rantings and ramblings from three of the best here at Love Wrestling while they watch All Elite Wrestling's Dynamite program, and you watch it along with them and have a great discussion about it. That show has really taken off, and it has been amazing to see the amount of fans and support that has come from that. And even the amount of people that have tuned in to All Elite Sidecast and then tuned in to every other show afterwards. And I mean, because of that show, it's really built a following for Love Wrestling. And well, for that, I say thank you, because hey, it's helped me out as well. So
hey, we do what we can.
Right?
Well,
right?
No, you put out the Carl signal, the turnbuckle signal, and asked if anybody to hop in. And I said, you know what? I don't got nothing going on tonight. Let's make it happen. So I'm super excited to be here, Carl, my mentor, my Randy Orton. Let's do this.
If you guys are not already, make sure that you're going to follow Pluggo over on Twitter at Pluggo _. He actually created this amazing little graphic that showed Randy Orton and Riddle inside of the ring and swapped out the faces for his and mine. And it was amazing to see. I loved seeing that.
Do what we can. Do what we can.
Speaking of swapping faces,
do I need to just do it? Carl! Hey, Carl. This is a serious show. This ain't Thursday nights. I got to behave.
Hey, it doesn't matter. We can get as whatever as we need to. And honk honk for real right now. Honk honk from the real Canadian Goose. Thank you. He pops in, says, fellows, have a great show. Thank you. If you're able to stick around, Goose, do so and be part of the conversation. And the same here with Astrid as well, the natural, who can be seen on Wednesdays as well with that guy over there.
She can be seen everywhere. Astrid's taking over the world. It's like Astrid week forever. She's got Astrid Ash, she got Jackie Rodriguez, Ella J. She's out there killing it.
Right?
She's out there killing it. I'm surprised she had time to step in and say hi.
I'm glad she did. I definitely am. JPJ hopping in here. The other half of the two beards says, my brother, yo, my dudes. Says that he's about to go and record another show, but he wanted to hop in and say hello to us studs. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. We like JPJ around here. He's good people.
Yeah, he definitely is. Quest for Jewel saying honk indeed.
Honk, honk.
And then Astrid says, I need sleep like Wendy Chu.
Amen to that.
But she will always make time for her people.
That's what we love about Astrid. She is like the workhorse here. Always on shows.
Always. Definitely. Always. Noob coming in as well. Hello. How are you doing today? Today I am doing fantastic. I'm super happy and pleased to be joined by Pluggo today, because we've got some pretty good discussions that we're going to have revolving around a number of different topics within the world of professional wrestling. Now, this first one is like kind of conspiracy theory. Uh-oh. Kind of rumor, kind of, you know. So we just had this really great pay-per-view that happened called Always Ready, put on by the National Wrestling Alliance. So during that pay-per-view, the very first matchup of the actual show had just happened to feature Aaron Stevens. For those of you who are not necessarily familiar with the NWA, but familiar with the WWE, you will know him as Damian Sandow. So they were calling this matchup the Swan Song for Aaron Stevens. Now, they kept alluding.
Did they announce this before the match, or did they just drop it in your mid-match? Like, oh, this is Aaron Stevens' Swan Song.
No, before.
Oh.
Yeah, it definitely was being touted as Aaron Stevens' Swan Song. So, all right, I get it. Cool. Sounds good. But commentary kind of was, I don't know, they were kind of twisting things around a little bit, kind of making it sound like, you know, well, first Tim Storm is like, I don't even know what Swan Song is, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like, what does that even mean? He's saying, right? And then, you know, you got the wonderful, lovely, absolutely gorgeous Velvet Sky that is just being Velvet Sky. And then you got Joe Galli there as well. That's kind of going, well, you know, Swan Song, that's means the last match. And, you know, so it was weird because they kept alluding to, well, we don't know if this is the last time we're going to see Aaron Stevens. We don't know what's going to happen after this. And it was like, you know, Maggie coming in here saying men have a nice skin in front of a camera without a makeup is pissing me off.
Now, Maggie, is that us, or are you talking about Aaron Stevens and just wrestlers in general? Because I don't think I've got that great of a complexion, to be completely honest. But Maggie, shout out to Maggie. Love Maggie. How are you, friend?
Oh, yes, you. Me? Yes, me? You.
Oh, snap. Well, thank you. This is my regiment of get up at 5 a.m., work in the hot, sweaty store all day, building things, and then come straight home and hop on with Carl. Look,
that's essentially what I'm both of you. She says that's essentially what I did too. Literally, I went out to my shoot job. I started at 7 o'clock this morning. I ended at 7 o'clock tonight. I work security, so I was inside of a vehicle, outside of a vehicle all day, in and out, having to go and check on my guards, having to do checks at different sites, having to, you know, walk around different places. So, I mean, I just hot, sweaty, out in the sun.
We're just blessed. But yes, Maggie's comment, she is a bartender. Check out her drink videos she makes. Those are so much fun on her.
You know,
Maggie_IK on Twitter.
Perfect.
Shout her out. Maggie rules. I love Maggie. But yeah, this is the kids beat me into submission before I got on camera. Look, have yourself some kids. You're glowing all day, right? But thanks for everybody popping out. We're popping off. Everybody popping in. Loving it.
Well, it's anyway, all because of you.
Is it because of me? I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not,
but thank you.
FFS, Maggie says, for F's sake. But yeah, we're talking Aaron Stevens right now and this matchup that he had. Now, the big conspiracy that's kind of going around right now is that the WWE is now saying and had Ezekiel go out on the mic and say that Elias will be at next week's Raw. So this coming Monday's Raw, we're going to see Elias.
I'm so excited.
Now they're making it sound as though we're going to be seeing Ezekiel and Elias together during the program. What's weird about that is we all know they're one and the same. So how are they going to make this happen?
Well, they could clone Ezekiel.
They could.
Ezekiel could legitimately be, and I believe this to be fact, in his own person. Elias is some other dude. They could hologram it. It could be, smoke and mirrors. maybe Aaron Stevens comes back, beards up. He kind of gives off the Ezekiel or the Elias vibe. I don't know. I'm interested. This storyline, when it first debuted, I was like, this is going to be the dumbest thing of all time. And it has been the most entertaining thing on WWE programming consistently since its debut.
It has been pure gold. Even Maggie saying, this will be so stupid. I love it. And then Maggie getting a shout out from JPJ.
JPJ saying, hey, hi.
So, yeah.
How do you think they pull this off? Do they bait and switch us? Is there a way? Because you can't, as a bearded gentleman, I know from experience that this thing, you can't grow it in a week.
No, you can't. You definitely cannot. Noob saying, you know, KO is on to Ezekiel in his lie. Yeah, yeah. Maggie giving some love to JPJ as well.
With a little heart emoji. Oh,
right.
All right. Right. We got all sorts of love in the chat tonight. Everybody, it's all love. Love wrestling. We're about a positive culture, positive energy.
And maybe soon we'll be about a positive dating site.
Baby, love wrestling and love. You never know.
Right.
So, Carl.
Oh, this is weird. It's really difficult because I mean you could go the simple route of this, right, and just have on the TitanTron. It's just video, right? Like you could have just that. It's Elias up on video, Ezekiel in the ring. Simple, easy, done. If you want to get a little bit more behind the scenes with things, you could do person. Splice video together, because then it will look as though on video,
yeah,
that they're together.
But you don't pay it off in the ring for the fans in attendance if you do that,
right? That's the only catch with that, unless you have KO out in the ring on the stick talking up some shit about this is all video, this is all fake, and continuing on with the lies and the story behind all of that. Or you just simply call Aaron Stevens and have him come in. Like, I think that makes the most sense if they want to do both of them inside of the ring face to face. That's going to make the most sense, because we all know, going back and watching anything that Damian Sandow has done, the guy is a genius when it comes to emulating other characters. So, I don't know.
In the chat, let us know how you think they pull it off. We got all these people here. Maybe, yeah, if, okay, WWE planned this more than 3 hours ago, what would it, they would have shot him. See, now that's where I was going to go, Maggie. Maggie kind of jumped the gun to my next point, so shout out to her for great minds think alike. But I essentially thought maybe that they thought when they were going to give us Ezekiel again, maybe they recorded something. I'm giving them a lot of credit here, because that's a bold thing. I mean, obviously, I'm going to wait to see how it plays out, but like, that's a bold thing to say that Elias is showing up, knowing how hard it's going to be to pull that off if you want, just on the surface, that to happen. I'm obviously, some chicanery could happen. Zeke could come out and be like, you know what? Sorry, he couldn't make it. Car trouble, blah, 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 COVID, whatever. He could come up with a million excuses as to why he's not there. But if you want to pay it off and have him be there, I mean, Aaron Stevens would be a good shout to make that happen.
It definitely. I mean, I even just thought of something else here, right? Because you talked about Ezekiel now, you know, coming down to the ring and saying whatever has happened, blah, blah, blah. You could always. We got to hit this comment here first. Going back to work, guys.
Peace, Maggie. Lips,
have fun. Hearts.
Everybody, thanks, Maggie. Tip Maggie. Tip your server. Treat her well. Treat all your service people well. It's tough out there right now in the game.
Oh, yeah. Noob is coming in here saying either the story is going to be a success or it'll be a total fail. Either way, if they include KO into this, however they need to, it will not be a failure.
I'll say this. The story to this point has been a success, a surprising success.
Yes.
The payoff to this story will determine whether the story as a whole is a success or a fail. Because the way that they spun this thing, that it is all hinging on whatever the payoff is to this story. I personally think they should never, for the rest of time, it should be two separate people.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that.
If Elias, or I'm sorry, if Ezekiel goes on a tear and becomes a WWE Hall of Famer, I expected his speech to be like, to not even mention Elias, because there are two different people. Like he'd say, yeah, I'd like to thank my family and my younger brother Elias or whatever for
exactly
or older brother. But yeah, they should just keep it going because it's so much fun. And Kevin Owens is masterful at what he does. The Chad Gable interactions that they've had has been awesome.
Right.
I just think it's been a knockout of the park so far.
So now what about this for a little bit of continuation of story over this whole thing here? So it's easy enough with the makeup department that the WWE has for them to take a fake beard and put it onto Ezekiel. Okay. Yeah. And then shoot video of Elias in the back after he's been beat up. Right. So then, okay. So now he's been beat up. The beard is on. He's been beat up. We find out afterwards, because Ezekiel now comes down to the ring. Kevin Owens comes down to the ring and goes, how the hell is this possible? I beat you up in the back. How is this possible that you are standing here in the ring when I took you out? And then Kevin kind of goes, oh, shit. I didn't mean to say that I did that. Right? Something small and simple like that can definitely carry it on.
Or you do pull the Aaron Stevens card or somebody that looks like Elias, but it's still a little off, but everybody goes, hey, Elias, welcome back. Like everybody gets so excited for, and Kevin Owens, like, that's not him. Like, look at the pic. And he's got pictures and he's like, come on, you know, like there's so many ways they could do with it.
Right?
I can't believe I'm interested in this storyline, because like on the surface, you're like, this is dumb, but they're all doing so well. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see.
I am too. I'm loving this story. I really am. And it's been a long while since I've actually cared about a story inside the WWE. And this one I'm loving right now. It actually has me excited for what's going to happen. And obviously the internet wrestling community is excited for this as well, because we would have never gotten this type of conspiracy, because Aaron Steven calls it quits at Always Ready. And then just magically, you know, on Monday night, we're told next week we're going to see somebody who has a very striking resemblance.
Yeah.
Together, right? So,
and I don't understand in NWA contracts, but if he called it quit on Saturday and he's going to show up next Monday, that's a quick turnaround. He must not have a non-compete of any type, or I don't know. I really enjoyed from what I saw from Aaron Stevens in the NWA. I thought it was almost like a perfect fit for him. I think he did really well. But if he's heading back to the WWE, he's one of those guys that I enjoyed back in the day and I thought just was a little underrated and a little underappreciated, because he could do, you know, the comedy, he could do the serious. And then when they kind of took the wind out of his sails when they had him lose the cash in for the briefcase, and then they just turned him into a comedy gimmick. But hey, we'll see what happens.
And that's kind of what Aaron was saying as well when he was kind of doing his little on the stick afterwards, and then in the back with May as well, right? He even there had said, you know, like I never felt appreciated enough to gain that world championship after having trained at Killer Kowalski's school, you know, going there when I was 16 or 17 years old and training. That's all I ever wanted, was just the recognition of being a champion and holding that championship, to be able to take it home, put it on my mantle, and take it to his grave and say, look, I made it. And he says, after all this time, I haven't been able to do that, and maybe it's just time. So we'll have to see. Either way, two stories, two separate stories.
Aaron Stevens coming back to WWE should be bigger than Cody. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though?
Give him a countdown. Let's go.
I would love it.
Wrestling has three royal families, and Aaron Stevens walks out, and he's like, hey.
Oh, that would be great.
Like, it's Cody all along. He's dyed his hair. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Wherever he ends up, I'm interested, because I've always been a fan of his, so I've always kept
Me too.
An eye on what he's been doing.
And even if he doesn't go anywhere, even if this is actually it, and it's done for Aaron Stevens, I am very happy and thankful because he gave us some amazing, amazing memories within professional wrestling. But there are lots of other. Heel. Hey,
he's Elias. Be quiet. He's not done.
There are lots of other things that really give us lasting memories inside of this business. And one of those things is, well, if you take a look at the logo for Turnbuckle Talk, inspired by one of those things that leave lasting memories on all of us, and that is the Bullet Club. No matter if you are somebody who watches New Japan Pro Wrestling, whether you watch Impact, any of the promotions, whether it was Ring of Honor, any of the independents, somehow, some way, some shape, some form, Bullet Club has infiltrated into that promotion. Whether it's a worker in the ring or whether it is somebody in the crowd, Bullet Club has become a huge pop culture, iconic look and faction to be a part of as a fan. They've gone through a few different incarnations of the Bullet Club, I guess you could say, going through some different leaders within the Bullet Club, because yes, chain of command always changes no matter where you are in life. Chain of command changes. So now we've got the leader of the Bullet Club being Switchblade Jay White. So now I've got something that I want to read off here for you, Pluggo, and I want to get your take on this after you hear it. So Bullet Club original Tama Tonga was recently ejected from the Bullet Club in March, along with Tonga Liao and Jado. So speaking with New Japan Pro Wrestling, Jay White noted that he planned to build Bullet Club ahead of his IWGP World Heavyweight title bout at New Japan Pro Wrestling's event Dominion. And this is what he had to say. He said, I've been building Bullet Club to the fullest height of what it can be, and that'll culminate at Dominion. I'll take the title back home to America, walk into Forbidden Door, and show the world who the best wrestler on the planet is. This is just a recipe for success. Tama Tonga liked to talk about different eras in Bullet Club. Now that we have the Good Brothers back, Rock Hard Juice Robinson, everything they bring to the table, you can say that this is now the get paid era for Bullet Club. Then when he was asked what Ace Austin brings to the table, because now Ace Austin from Impact is in the Bullet Club, his answer was prestige. That's the X Division champion. When I was in Impact, I could see the potential in him, and the sky's the limit. So with him and Chris Bay and the Good Brothers running things in Impact, like I said, it's a recipe for success. That's why I'm the catalyst of professional wrestling, because I can make these things happen across all these different companies. Nobody could even imagine what I am doing now. So we'll fast forward a little bit, and Switchblade, spoiler alert, has the IWGP championship. He will be bringing it back to America. So we've got several different champions that are inside of the Bullet Club, including Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens as the IWGP, junior heavyweight tag team champions. Then you've got Switchblade with the championship. You've got the X Division championship is part of the club, the Bullet Club now. With all of these people that they have in there, with the names that they have in there, because you can't tell me somebody like Ace Austin, Juice Robinson, and the Good Brothers are not top tier names in the independent scene right now, that this really isn't the get paid era. I don't know. And I know that you really don't watch a lot of New Japan or really know a lot about it, but what do you think about all of these? And I'll say it, top tier stars, because they are, they're top tier stars within the independent scene, joining the Bullet Club, and they're kind of being a resurgence of the Bullet Club. Yes, Noob, you're right. Jay White cut the best promo over the weekend. He definitely did.
He definitely does. He's Jay White is fantastic on the mic from what I get to see. It does pique my interest because I've been following a guy like Ace Austin for a long time, even before he signed to Impact. And yeah, okay. I think Jay Wright nailed it right on the head. He's a no doubter prestige. He's going to be the next wave of top stars. So it gets me interested to like want to catch more stuff and be more involved in the New Japan side of things just to see what they're going on. But yeah, Bullet Club's everywhere. Like you can't turn on a television promotion and not have some tie to a Bullet Club member because they're just so deep. Right. So he wanted Dominion. He beat Okada. What's Okada doing now at Forbidden Door? That's where I like, because that was like Hangman called out Okada specifically. And then Cole said, well, what if my buddy Jay White beats Okada? Does that mean we're not getting Okada at Forbidden Door? Or are they going to find something for him to do? Bullet Club, they could run roughshod over their Forbidden Door considering they have the AEW ties. They got Jay White's going to be there.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see an Ace Austin or a Chris Bay kind of show up because there is that relationship with Impact. So the Good Brothers, like it could just be a Bullet Club. I don't want to say coming out party. I would say more of like an introduction to maybe some casual just AEW fans that are watching because it's an AEW product, and then all of a sudden you see Bullet Club, so maybe it works out in that where it helps out everybody and you see just a whole new side. You're like, oh shoot, now I gotta check out this New Japan because look at that I know that guy. We'll see what happens,
right? I think it's going to be very interesting. And yeah, Okada, I think they're still going to have Okada in some way, shape, or form, unless for some reason Okada doesn't have any clearance to come over to the States.
Maybe. Right? I'm interested to see because, like, I know that, like, the way the matchup's kind of Tanahashi and Mox is set in, Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. It's tied to, like, rumored to happen, but I know Danielson's hurt. Punk being out really hurts. Hangman wanted Okada, but I guess he'll get Jay White just because Jay White's got the title. Who's the other big fish, I guess, in AEW that you would see matching up with Okada the best? And so maybe they just don't have a natural match for him. Because it seems like the matches they're lining up are kind of like natural fits where it's not going to be this like these people kind of know each other type deals. We're not going to have anything too crazy where it's like if it doesn't work, it doesn't work type stuff. So.
No, you're right. I think that they're really going to probably play things on the safe side to ensure that they are giving the absolute best show that they possibly can. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And I find it really interesting that all of this now is kind of coming out with Jay White talking about this is the get paid era right before we're going to see Forbidden Door happening. As well, he even...
What do you think Bullet Club dues are? You get like 50 members, they all got to pay like clubhouse dues? Are they all paying maybe. Jay White, maybe. You know, like a gang? Like, you got to pay your dues this week, Chris Bay. I need 20% of your Impact check or whatever it may be.
You see, that's something that I've never thought about. I have... holy shit. I have never thought about something like that.
That's wouldn't more that be members interesting? Need more money, I guess. And then they've got a hold in AEW Impact, you know. Right. You have to pay like once you're out, or do you have to pay, like, you know, does AJ Styles got to still kick in, or do they ask, you know, I'm just interested. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I will have to see if I can maybe put out some feelers, and yeah, I doubt that I would be able to get any of the Bullet Club members. Maybe there's, I might be. Hey, there might be a couple.
There's quite a few. You should probably get some nibbles. Like, hey, what's the clubhouse dues like? You know, what's the
right? It would be really interesting. It definitely would be. But I'm excited to see, especially Forbidden Door, especially what Bullet Club is going to be doing with that show specifically. Because Jay White has even already just called out and said to the Bullet Club members and masses that are out there, Forbidden Door. And that's really kind of how he left things, right? So we're going to see. We're going to see if what type of
impact. I mean, if you're New Japan, right? Again, I need to, and I keep saying it every week, I just need to start diving in and start chipping away at some New Japan stuff. But their main goal, from what I've read and what I've seen, is that they want to have a footing here in America and get a bigger North American appeal. Yeah. And we can include Canada in that as well, and Mexico. They want that because they need, you know, they want to keep going. They want to keep growing. So what better way to do it than the most recognizable group you have running roughshod over a promote, which again, it wouldn't hurt AEW at all. Like, again, I don't think this pay-per-view needs to be anything other than we're trying to get AEW some more views from the Japan side, and Japan getting some stateside views. And we just have a banger. And if the Bullet Club runs wild, that will draw the interest of your casuals. That's what.
Oh, yeah. It definitely will.
Well known.
Yeah. Well known across all platforms. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows the Bullet Club. Everybody. Speaking of somebody that everybody knows Paige from the WWE. Well, as it turns out, the WWE has decided that they are not going to renew her contract. So come, I believe it's July 7th, her contract is done. And she's already gone on to the socials and has thanked everybody that she needs to, and has, you know, said what she needs to say, and just pretty much put it out there that she's open to anything. So now I'm glad that you're on here with me, because I want to get your take as a fan of professional wrestling. What is your take on Paige being done with the WWE, and what do you think is in store for her future? And all of you in the chat as well, leave your comment on that question.
If they're done, they're done. And if they're not using her, literally they haven't done anything with her, I think, since the Asuka stuff, maybe, when she was with Asuka. So that's been a while. It's been pre-pandemic almost, I believe. So if you're not using her, go ahead and let her go loose. I know for her, she was very adamant about still wanting to do her Twitch streaming and keep that stuff going, and they were trying to shut that down back then. So maybe they just didn't use her out of spite, but good for her. I think if she wants to get back into the professional wrestling side of things and get cleared, I don't know what'll have to go through that, or even just be on the manager side of thing. I think she could sign anywhere she ultimately wants, Paige. I think, and I have thought for, I thought when she burst onto the scene, she was one of those, she was different. She was like, I want to see what she has to do. She was great in the ring. She was good management on the management side of things too. So you put her in any role that she wants to be in, and I think she'll succeed. It's ultimately up to where she wants to go. And if the market is there for her, I'm interested to see. I know everybody immediately goes, she'll sign with AEW. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. The way they're treating their women's roster right now is, I don't know if it's, that's besides the point. It's a topic for another day, but yeah, ultimately Paige going wherever she wants. That's what I think. I think she is a name that, hands down, could go anywhere, and who cares? It's up to her. Why would you not want Paige on your roster, whether it be managing some younger talent to help give them experience, or wrestling even if she, I don't know how the neck is. I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be one. So ultimately that's up to her doctors, herself. If she feels comfortable enough to go in the ring, then okay, let's see it.
And I just want to say that I have a little bit more respect for you now, Pluggo.
Uh-oh.
And I'm happy that you decided to take that route when talking about Paige and not just bursting out and going, she's going to AEW, like all the other smart marks that are out there.
Listen, I'm guilty of it. I love fantasy booking when people's contracts come up and they're available to go places. I just right now, given the state of AEW's women's division, I don't know if it's a good idea to just sign there.
Right.
But again, if she wanted to sign there and maybe she was a manager of some type, that would be okay. But ultimately, Impact could be fun. And it's interesting. NWA would be an interesting like place for her. Again, it's ultimately at the end of the day, it's where she wants to go. And if AEW is going to come, I'm sure they would be interested in her. I don't see why
I would hope so. Right. Tony Khan would be stupid if he wasn't interested in having Paige on his roster. Noob coming in saying, I know that Paige wants to get back to wrestling. I mean, she should have been managing Asuka or Ronda Rousey. Yeah, I mean, I think they tried that with Paige for a while, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, she managed Asuka, then she managed Mandy Rose and Sonya for a minute.
Yeah, and I can't remember what their little faction name was called. Either. Like,
but I mean,
job or something. I can't remember.
I don't know if God Ronda needs a manager, and I hate to say it because I love Ronda Rousey, but this run is just not the vibe.
Nope.
So they ultimately did, and again, I don't know. I'm not, you know, Sean Ross Sapps of the world. I don't have inside intel on anything. I just observe what I observe, and I always know maybe that just wasn't working on her end. Maybe the travel was too much with her injuries. Maybe they just felt it wasn't clicking. I don't know. I don't know how Paige is backstage. I don't know if she's easy to work with or not. But again, I just know that she's a name that can sign anywhere she wants, because there'll be plenty of people that are interested in having her in their promotion if she wants to go to wrestling.
That's right. You know what is easy to work with?
Me?
Support for Turnbuckle Talk as heard on Love Wrestling is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world? Manscaped. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code LOVEWRESTLING at manscaped.com.
My name is Carl Carafell, and welcome back to this edition of Turnbuckle Talk. I am joined alongside my good friend Pluggo, and as you can see in that little graphic there on the screen, we're going to be getting to that in just a little bit time, but we got a couple other things to talk about here first. So thank you everyone for coming back and joining, so that we could hear from our good friends over at Manscaped. As you heard there, that was my voice telling you, go check out manscaped.com. Use the promo code LOVEWRESTLING, 20% off and free worldwide shipping.
Worldwide.
I know, Pluggo, you use the product as well. What are your thoughts on Manscaped?
I love it. I am a habitual, just habitual and not in a bad sense, habitual user of the ball preserver, the crop preserver, especially given that it is 100 degrees where I'm at right now. These days get sweaty. Sometimes you're in a pinch. You can't shower up. You need a quick fix. Lather the nether region all up nice and good and get on your day. And you know what? Your partner will appreciate it. And you know what? Even fresh out the shower, putting that on, I like to smell good. Maybe, you know, hop into bed, be like, Miss Plugga, what's up? How you doing? And she's like, dang, you smell nice. And I'm like, it's all because of Manscaped, baby.
And she's and then like, she says, it's giving me like, a headache and rolls she's like, over.
She's like, no, she's like, that's the best free shipping we've used yet. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And then she says goodnight. She's like, I got a headache. I got things to do tomorrow.
Speaking
of headaches. But at least I go to bed smelling like a million bucks thanks to Manscaped.
Right. This person, next person here that we're going to talk about has, unfortunately, over the last several years, I would say over the last decade, has really become a headache for any promotion that this guy has worked for. If you haven't heard, you're going to hear now, unfortunately, Jeff Hardy was once again arrested. He was arrested for driving with a suspended license and under the influence as well. So now repercussions of this have been tumultuous. So now we've got a ladder match that was supposed to happen that is not going to happen now. So who knows what's going to happen with Matt Hardy, because they reunited as the Hardys, right? It's really unfortunate. But I can say that thankfully AEW and Tony Khan are kind of going about things in a proper way. So I want to read out to everyone the post that was put out by AEW. It says, we were able to resume contact with Jeff Hardy this afternoon. AEW does not condone Jeff's alleged behavior. We've made it clear to Jeff that will assist him in getting treatment for substance abuse issues, which he has indicated that he's open to receiving. In the interim, he is suspended without pay, and he can only return to AEW upon successfully completing treatment and maintaining his sobriety. And then this is really good on their part as well. They put, if you or a loved one needs help, please reach out to SAMHSA's national helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. So they're going a very politically correct route with this, which I'm happy about. Now, AEW has also gotten a hold of Warner Media and said, cease all promotion.
Was it AEW or was it Warner telling AEW to stop?
From what I've read in a couple places, that it was AEW that said to stop.
I just want to make sure that I want to just clarify that, because I wasn't 100% sure on that, because I, you know, It's been an interesting week. I actually caught this news like late in the day yesterday.
Okay.
Was it early in the day? It was Monday night, right? Or no, I'm sorry. It was Sunday night. He got caught.
Yes.
So I caught it late Monday. Yeah, yesterday. I had the week's flying by. And I shook my head.
Right. And I mean, I love Jeff Hardy. I really do. I think that what he did for professional wrestling back in the beginning, when we had the Hardy Boys, when we had, you know, the Hardy Boys versus the Dudleys versus Edge and Christian, that stuff was absolute gold and amazing. It really rejuvenated kind of the high flying daredevil aspect of professional wrestling, along with a revitalization of the ladder match as well, which was fantastic to see. Unfortunately, these demons just seem to keep catching up, and it sucks. It really does, because somebody that you've watched for so long, you don't know them on a personal level, but you feel like you know them because you've seen them so long, and you've grown and watched them grow as well, that it just really kind of hits you hard. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, this is like this sport specifically, like you said, you grow up. That's why when they cut people and they release people, it sucks, because you get attached to their characters, you get attached to them, and people laugh it off like it's like, oh, it's just wrestling, whatever. But, you know, you get attached to Harry Potter characters or Star Wars characters. It's just, it's another form of entertainment, you know, musicians, yeah, things like that. This is an art form.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like I said, for me, I just shook my head because I supported Jeff when the WWE news came out that they thought he was intoxicated, and right, they pretty much kicked him to the curb on an assumption, because as a recovering alcoholic, I guess you could say, or just somebody that chose to take the sobriety path because of, you know, my own personal decisions, my own personal demons, that's the worst thing you could do to somebody, is just assume that they're going to screw up. But right, I don't know. I can't, he needs to get help, but at the end of the day, and we're not going to dive too deep into, because everybody's different. Everybody's demons are different. Everybody's reasons for different. Here's where, yeah, I'm at with it. At the end of the day, the only person that can help Jeff Hardy is Jeff Hardy. He needs to help himself.
Yep.
Before anybody else. You can't do it for anybody else. You have to do it for you. Trust me. I know that if you're doing it for other people, then it becomes a whole thing. Two, it's 2022, Jeff. There is plenty of opportunities for you to get an Uber, you know, get a Lyft, call a buddy, phone a friend. I always say I would rather lose sleep at 3 a.m. trying to find you a Lyft or coming to pick you up from a bar than having to lose you forever at a funeral. Thank God he, right, didn't hurt anybody at all. Like, there was nobody hurt. Imagine this conversation. If that would have happened, it's just one of, if, again, if he wants to, if he doesn't want to stop drinking and he doesn't want to stop, like, that's his prerogative. But right, be smart about it. Like, be safe. Call somebody. And somebody in his circle, I don't know how he got the car and a suspended license. I guess that's the report that somebody gave, got him the car. Or, like, if that's somebody in his inner circle, that was the wrong decision. But again, I'm not placing blame on anybody ultimately today, but Jeff, like, you have to make, yeah, the right decisions. That we, you know, and I am very adamant that I am okay if I never see him do another Swanton bomb in the middle of a ring ever again. Like, I, not because I'd rather him focus on getting himself right before I ever focus on anything wrestling related with him again. He needs to, hopefully he takes the help that Tony Khan's offering him. I know it sucks, yeah, for Matt right now, because that ladder match was going to be awesome. And I know Matt, oh, yeah, kind of rebooted his character and went with the Hardy farewell tour. Now I don't think we're going to see it for a long, long time, but it's just, oh, it's just, it's tough. You know, I can't condone a single thing that he did. Like, that's just, and the video that surfaced was even worse.
Right. Right. Now, reports are still coming out on this, right? Details are still coming to light when it comes to this whole thing. So I'm seeing conflicting reports right now. Some reports say that he was suspended license. Some are actually saying that he actually did have a license and he was actually able to use it to rent vehicles. So, details are still coming out surrounding this entire ordeal that's, yeah, happened. But I'm sure for Pluggo and for myself, we just wish that Jeff gets the help that he needs. Finally, we'll get the help that he needs. And maybe, okay, so this is something that I've thought about. He's had the opportunity with the WWE to get help, right? Yeah. Vince McMahon has offered that help on a couple of different occasions. Now, was that help coming from Vince McMahon more of a, this is my boss telling me I have to do things, and maybe they're being like kind of a little standoffish and type of situation. Maybe it was a little aggressive the way that things had come off, and that's why he, you know, ultimately failed at those attempts, or even failed at accepting that help from that, because he kind of felt maybe pressured to do things. Whereas Tony, yes, we know that he owns the company, you know, him and his dad own the company, he runs the company, but he's a fan, honestly, just like all of us. Is this maybe coming more from a fan and a friend perspective? And hopefully maybe Jeff then will be like, this is now my friend that is saying he's going to help me, and maybe I need to actually, you know, do something.
I guess the only way I could answer that is from an experience side of things, from being in the similar situation as Jeff. For those that don't, we talk about it. We've talked it on Up Beards at a couple times. You know, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 4 years now as of May. But again, it has to, maybe Vince McMahon came at it from a corporate standpoint. Maybe Tony's coming at it from Kid Glove. Maybe Jeff has decided like, okay, that's it. Like, how many more times can I go down this road? Like, for me, I'm thankful to this day, and I will shout it to the rooftops, that the people I was around on my last night of drinking and the last big, it was just a, we'll call it a mess that it was, took my keys. Because in that moment, I'm not listening to anybody, right? I'm invincible. Right. I'm on top of the world. Alcohol may feel on top of the world in the good times and in the bad times. You think nothing could touch you, and I'm not listening to nobody. But I'm thankful to this day that somebody took those keys, because I mean, I don't know what would have happened after that. I mean, I might not be here today. You never know. Like, so you have to, when somebody comes to you and says, well, you need rehab, and you don't think you need rehab, you're not going to go to rehab. You're not going to do it. Again, you have to do those things. Ultimately, at the end of the day, they have to be for you. And again, maybe he woke up that morning and said, I got to stop. He has kids. He has a family. You know, he has a career. If he wants to keep wrestling, I'm sure he's got, I don't know what his financials are. I'm sure he's set. I'm sure he's got money. But if he wants to keep having this career that he's got and these, you know, lifestyle that he has and keep making that money, maybe he sat down and was like, I got to get this right. Like, because the WWE is ultimately, I don't think, going to bring him back. I think they were done with him in this last go around when they thought that there was something up. And now here's another opportunity at AEW, and I'm going to blow that too. Like, so he might have woke up. He might have just, it might have just clicked. Again, it's all the, you know, as a drinker, like, maybe you should slow down. I'm fine. I can handle it. I can stop whenever I want. You know, I don't need, you know, and then you get to a point where you can't, and then things kind of pile up. For me, it was like, do I want to keep being the drunk dad? Not to say that I like ever had it affect my kids, but do I want my kids to grow up with, there's just, you know, dad's always got a beer. He never, you know, I never crossed any lines. I never got, had, you know, the Jeff situation, but again, everybody's different. Everything's different. I'm not condoning. I'm not saying he's right or I was right or mine's lesser. I had to like, do I need to change? Do I want to keep waking up hungover? Do I want to keep trying to fit that into my lifestyle, or do I want to focus on other things? And ultimately I think I made the right decision. You know, cause I, you just, it's super easy. Alcohol is a super easy thing to have. Just, it's always available. It's more, it's the most socially acceptable, you know, form of recreation that you can find.
Right.
So yeah, for Jeff, it's just, it's going to come down to, and it maybe, I don't know, maybe this is just what Tony's saying to save face, saying, hey, we hope, you know, maybe Jeff's open to it. I would be open to it too, if I was Jeff Hardy at this point, being like, because this isn't his first go around. This is what, 5 times that he's been arrested for a DUI?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at some point you got to wake up. And Jeff is, it's super easy in 2022, man, to just have hire a driver. Again, I don't care if he goes out and has 14 beers. Just don't drive. Just be smart about it. Do it at home. If you don't ever want to quit, that's your prerogative, man. But don't put other people's lives at risk. I have to say that's just got to stop. And I think some tough love needs to happen in that sense. Like, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him rushed back. I didn't think it was the right decision to put the Usos, the titles on the Usos, 2 weeks after Jay got popped.
Right.
Cause no, I feel I, like it, yeah. it just, you know, the pressure to come back. It shouldn't be the pressure to come back. It should be the pressure to get right. You're Jeff Hardy. You're a legend of this business. If it makes sense for you to come back to wrestling, you'll be welcome back.
Oh yeah.
I hope he takes the help this time, but it's ultimately, again, and I'm just rambling here, it's up to Jeff.
No, it's
it's up to Jeff.
Right.
You can't force, that's the biggest thing for me. You can't force somebody to go to therapy or go to rehab or go to, you know, to lose weight. You can't force these kind of lifestyle changes on somebody that thinks that they're untouchable. Like,
it's true.
You just have to, they have to want it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what, there's a lot of, we'll see what happens in this episode.
Yeah, no, there definitely is.
Every segment I'm like, we'll see what happens, because there's just so much unknown here. And ultimately, if we want to swing it back to the wrestling side of things,
yeah,
which I know this story is bigger than the sport of wrestling, there's lives at stake. But I mean, I feel bad for Matt. Like, he, again, like I said earlier, he put his life on the line. And I have to imagine that I don't know what was said behind closed doors, but I have to imagine Matt probably sat him down. And that's what happened to me. Somebody sat me down and said, hey, do you want to keep going down this path or do you want to change? And it clicked in that moment. And I said, no, you know what? You're right. And maybe Matt was like, Jeff, like, do you want to get this right? Or do you want to be remembered for all of this? Or do you want to be remembered for all the good times, you know? Ultimately.
Exactly. No, and I appreciate you opening up and talking about this, and especially about your story and your struggles that you had and your accomplishments that came from it as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, wrestling, and I don't try to be, you know, everybody sees me as fun plug. Oh, I got my demons like everybody else, but ultimately this forum has been kind of therapeutic for me because for a long time I just didn't want to talk about it. It wasn't something that I felt like I should brag about because I don't feel like I'm any better than anybody else. It's just an all. Right. And I'll put this to the viewers and I'll put this to everybody here. If you ever need a shoulder or an ear to hear what you got to say, my DMs are open. Hit me up, talk to me. If you need help in any way, like, I'm not perfect, but I can give you, you know, some advice. And sometimes it just helps to have somebody in your corner and I'll be that guy. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I would rather lose sleep at 3 a.m. here and you call me and we try to figure out how to get you home then be going to your funeral and losing you and having to deal with that. Like, I want you here. I want everybody here. Right. I want all my people in my life to stay healthy and live long. I don't want to hear. Yeah. So yeah. And that's what I instill into my kids as they get into that age. Like, hey, listen, I'm going to be mad at you for making a dumb decision, but wouldn't you rather me be mad at you for like a couple days than you just never be around again? So please,
right,
call me and we'll take care of it.
And I've told the same thing to my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and all of my friends, and they know it as well. I've even had some friends that have reached out to me at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning and been like, I need a ride. All right, cool. I'm there.
I can't be there, I'll call you an Uber and I'll pay for it. Get you right? Home. We'll figure it out later.
Whatever way needs to be done, it's done. We are almost done with this episode. I know that at 10 o'clock tonight, we are going to get, again, the double feature. I do believe we're getting the double feature of NXT Power or NXT, where they spilled the tea on NXT, and NWA Power Out. So it's going to be a fantastic night as well. Astrid, we love you so much.
We appreciate you too, Astrid. Absolutely. Oh, we got the actor guy saying cheers, mate. Where are you going? You put that graphic up. Don't think we're not going to talk about that graphic get out of here.
We're definitely talking about
positive. That. Pluggo over here spilling all of his sob stories.
No, it's good.
About the business, baby.
I'm just mentioning, you know, the shows that are coming up at 10 o'clock, because I know that right now it's 9 o'clock, which means we still have a little bit of time. And I am thankful for that, because I got two more topics, and this next one is going to be something probably pretty quick to go through. I talked about this on, I think it was a couple shows ago, I talked about this on the This Versus That show that I did. NWA Always Ready. We talked about that at the very beginning of the show, and it was a banger pay-per-view. I enjoyed it from top to bottom. I enjoyed the entire thing. I really did. Now, I've been noticing from the IWS that there is, did I say IWS?
I figured you just called them the Internet Wrestling Society, but it's the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community. But yeah, hey, whatever,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I knew what you were saying.
I'm just making up my own shit here, I guess. So the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, has been very critical over the length of these shows that are happening. Astrid, don't you laugh at me. So this show,
Carl,
went like...
They're complaining about the length of all the shows.
Right? And I had kind of gone over that in, you know, because I had said whether it's a... an NWA pay-per-view or an AEW pay-per-view or what at New Japan especially is notorious for their long pay-per-views, right? So going nearly 4 hours with Always Ready or any of the other shows that have gone over 4 hours. But then on the flip side of things, you have got the WWE that is giving us 2 hours and 37 minutes of a premier live event pay-per-view. So the criticism happens no matter where you are with whatever. Now,
well, the 2-hour and 37-minute thing for the WWE, especially during the pandemic, like, yeah, that made sense. If they do that now, it might be a little short. But yeah, I mean, I am old. I err on the side of I don't like staying up until 12:30 for a premium line of event. I am also one of those stalwarts on I think making a pay-per-view should mean something.
Right.
It shouldn't just be like, let's throw everybody we can on a card. And I know that, you know, companies want to give people their money's worth and yada, 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 and make them worth their time. But I would rather have like a 3 hour, just every match was at a 10, than 6 hours of like, that could have been on Dynamite or that could have been on Main Event or that could have been on Power, you know, like saying that in my head.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that. I definitely do. And I think that that's where the biggest criticisms are coming in right now is that, you know, people are saying these pay-per-views are so long or these shows are so long, right, that they're losing interest during the show. Fortunately for myself, I've always been kind of a fan of the NWA. So I can watch it. I can sit through it, which is good, right? But on the flip side of things, so the WWE is giving us a pay-per-view every month. Sorry, they're giving us a premier live event every month, right? At
not gonna say it. Nope.
Nearly 3 hours of a premier live event, right? Instead, over on like AEW side or on NWA's side, you're only getting a big show 4 times a year. So why are you getting upset that they're trying to capitalize on their 4 times a year and give you the best show that they can? That Ecto guy coming in here saying, I feel that if the action is there and at a good pace and keeps you interested, then a 4 hour event is fine. That was my problem with 7 hour manias these past few years. That I agree with. WrestleMania should not be 7 hours.
Well, now it's 2 nights and it's a combined almost 8 or 9 hours. Yeah, like I understand the 4 pay-per-views and they want to capitalize. But again, it just comes down to the day and age that we're in. Like most people can't sit through that. Like most, they're all, you know, it's just like, oh, it's, you know, it's a chore. It's like you started at 7 o'clock. You're there till midnight. Most, if it's on a Sunday, most of us work Monday morning.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer because I've sat through some 7 hour manias that were just absolutely insane. And then I've sat through some 3 hour pay-per-views that sucked. Like,
right.
It just depends on how you're playing it. And if you're making it make sense and if you're putting forth your best foot forward for pay-per-view and giving people ultimately like some of these, like Full Gear last year was amazing. Or was it Full Gear? I'm sorry. You know, what was Double or Nothing when Danielson and Cole both debuted.
Oh, yes.
Double or Nothing, correct? Yeah, that was a long one, but it was like everything hit at that pay-per-view, and it's just like, you know, it depends. We're all fickle. What was that? Fickle. You're all fickle. Let go. Plug a throwback with Finn, my friend.
Oh, absolutely awesome. Throwback, thank you for coming in here. Even if you are just this little tad late, you are here for the showstopper segment, the main event of the night. What we are going to do first, though, is I want to tell you about Rich King and RK Athletics. if you were in the Edmonton, Alberta area and you were looking for personal training to get yourself into the best shape you can be, make sure that you're checking out Rich King at rkathletics.ca or rkathletics1 on the socials. Follow them there and make sure that you are getting the best personal training that you can. Even if you are not in the area, they have options available for you to be able to train remotely as well, which is something that has really started to boom, and Rich King has taken over that industry as well. And again, with Rich King, we want to offer him a speedy recovery as well, because we do know that at one of the last shows that he was at, he did sustain a little bit of an injury. So we hope that he gets healed up and better as quick as possible so that we can see him again soon in the future. We do have two more things to take a look at here when it comes to one sponsor and then one just a personal thing for me. So here you go.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Wrestling, a love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
The official Turnbuckle Studio shop is open. Official merchandise from all the favorite shows, plus merchandise you can only find here. Stuff from Turnbuckle Studios. Carl Carafell unboxes. The Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke. Miscellaneous products that you can only find here. Beats and Beat Downs, and Turnbuckle Talk. Find all this merchandise exclusively at carlcarafell.redbubble.com. And my name is Carl Carafell, and welcome back to Turnbuckle Talk. Every Tuesday, coming at you live, and the best way for you to interact with the show is to join us live so that you can be in that chat room talking it up with everybody here. While this graphic is up, I'm going to put this comment up from Throwback. It says, Pluggo has to commit to his Brock deal. Which era of NXT is better, black and gold or 2.0? And here's the catch. Which was better at the start of their product? So I'm going to take this banner or this overlay off here, and Pluggo, I'm going to let you answer that question.
Well, I guess
I'll throw it back up so that you can read it still, just in case.
I don't know how to read anyway. I guess it depends on where you start the black and gold brand, because they were always kind of the black and gold brand, even in that little like trivia stuff. And then like, and then the 2.0 thing, I thought the first episode or two was fine. I thought I liked the idea. It's two totally different brands. I know that sounds very, you know, political to just pick two. But ultimately, I think the black and gold brand at the start, from when Triple H kind of took it over and made it his baby, was better than this. I personally catch NXT with matches like that I kind of just want to see. And I'll binge watch NXT now. More than it's appointment viewing for me. It's just not, they're not catering to me. It's not my demo. I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm not saying, you know, it's not my style. That black and gold, though, I don't think you could beat it. But I love the color scheme at 2.0. I like colors vibrant. It's fine. I just know that's what I can't confirm. Oh, boy. Yes. Did you put that up? Yes.
Ecto Guy is saying, as his producer for Between Two Beards, I can confirm Pluggo cannot read. You'll have to read this for him, Carl.
I'm not allowed to touch buttons on my show. I'm not allowed to read things. But the Grimes as a heel is a lot of fun. So I'm interested to see that. See, that's a match. I would Bron Breakker versus Grimes. I will go out of my way to watch that because I think those two are incredibly talented performers. Some of the other stuff they do, not for me.
Astrid is correct here in her statement where she says, you know, when Plug was reading, he just like that gets real close in and squints.
It's because so the setup I have, my chair sits back here. The screen is up bright. All the comments are off to the side and I have to like hop in and like kind of see it. I need to get a pair of those glasses that help the glare from your computer because it can be bright sometimes. I guess I could turn it down. Pluggo, just Pluggo. That's what I do. Excuses. They're not excuses. They're facts. Let's get to this showstopper, Carl.
Oh, good
I gotta talk Lord. About it. Let's go, baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely we do.
Here, let's see if I turn it down, if that helps.
This year is something that I actually received a little bit of criticism for from some people over on the Twitter machine as I had posted this photo that you see on the screen now, the classic Oprah, you get a car. I changed it up to you get a championship. Everybody gets a championship title. It seems as though that is a big thing within AEW right now is championships. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. And the criticism that I received for it is because on that photo, I included the Owen Hart tournament championship in there as well. And yes, although it is not a sanctioned title, and yes, I even left out, you know, the FTW championship on that graphic as well. Even though it's not a sanctioned championship, it is still a championship that was created to be given to these two stars, Adam Cole and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So for me, I'm very old school when it comes to professional wrestling and it comes to championships. So when I started watching professional wrestling, it was back in the 80s, the early 80s. So in the early to mid 80s, there was the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation. And what did you have for championships? You had the World Championship, the Intercontinental, the Tag Team, and the Women's. And that was it. You had those championships. After a little while, then the Million Dollar Man came with the Million Dollar Belt. But really, the championships were something of prestige. They were something that you attained. They were something that you strove towards to attain because you know that when you hold that championship, that you are the number one person. Nowadays, unfortunately, it seems as though, as Oprah clearly shows there with her arms wide open, everybody gets a championship. And it just seems to me like the prestige has really been lost on it, especially considering that AEW is still, from reports that I'm seeing from numerous sites and sources, are still looking at even bringing in a trios championship as well. So that's going to be adding another sanctioned set of championships to the roster. The roster is already bloated as it is, and I get that. So having this many championships compared to the number of talent that is in the roster pool really isn't as big as it seems. But when you're using the same people on the shows and showcasing those that are wearing or carrying a championship, it really starts to feel like there's just way too many. Now, Pluggo, I want your take on this because you are one of the resident AEW aficionados.
I have something.
Astrid, LOL, I pictured the Oprah meme when the championship was introduced. Well, as Pluggo said earlier in the show, great minds think alike, and I'm glad that I used that. But what are your thoughts on this? Because it is something that can be one way or the other. You can love it, you can hate it, right?
So and what are your thoughts? Throwback's comment up there says, Pluggo fears coming to Boston. Big money Pluggo needs a title shot. My wallet fears coming to Boston.
Right?
It's not I. I'm just this economy and them gas. Anyway, if we're going to assume that they're going to defend the Owen Hart titles,
which to my understanding they're not.
So let's that might have been better served to go with a trophy, but I don't know why they. I would love to hear the rationale behind the belt. Maybe it's easier for the wrestlers to carry it out, because like the Andre and the WWE, they don't carry that out every week. You know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, I digress. I personally am okay with multiple titles being if they mean something.
Okay.
Like have good storylines for them. I mean, you look at the WWE, they've got titles out there, but they don't do anything with them. Like, I jokingly said before Gunther won the IC title that, do you guys remember Ricochet, your Intercontinental Champion? You know, like, no, because they're just not doing anything. The women's tag title, sorry, but this is an AEW thing. So they've got the world title. They got the TNT title. Those are the two main titles. They've kind of lost their way with the TNT title, in my opinion. I think they need to get back to having it on the same level as the world.
Yeah.
This All Atlantic Championship, I'm interested to see what how it plays out and what they do with it. They got tag titles, they've got a women's title, they've got a women's secondary title, which we don't see very often. And that seems to be,
we don't see the AEW Women's Championship very often either.
No, we don't. But that's a their women's division and the way they're booking it has been atrocious lately, but I digress. I ultimately, again, if they book it well and they have a meaningful storylines and they're compelling and they treat these titles like big deals, who cares? Like New Japan has a bunch of titles. Everybody's got a bunch of titles now. And I know the bloated roster thing, but if you've got 80 guys competing for two championships, it is kind of like, all right, this kind of is, I don't know. There again, if you think there's too many, that's your prerogative. I think it can get to too many. I don't know if a trios title is the right move or not. Now that you've introduced this title, I think you've got plenty of storylines. I think ultimately at the end of the day, what they need to do with the standings is they need to break it down. It needs to be world title, TNT 5, the All Atlantic 5. The FTW thing, I don't even, because that's a Taz deal. It was
right. That's like the $1 million championship.
Yeah. Like I'm not, but I know that they throw that in the mix and have Ricky Starks defend it all the time. And they were having who had a Cage defended all the time. And it just, we all knew that they weren't losing it. So it doesn't really matter to me. So ultimately, I don't know, man. I hate to give you nothing here.
No,
it's fine. I don't know if it's the right move. If they treat each title like it matters, then yeah, I'm all for it. Just like we would love to see, like the WWE right now has Roman Reigns has the Universal and the WWE Championship. He ain't defended it in 2 months since he won the thing. He might not even be there at Money in the Bank. So what are you doing there? Then they've got two sets of women's tag titles aren't doing anything. What, they just unified the men's tag titles because they didn't know what to do with them. So they ultimately, they had too many because they're trying to kind of consolidate it down. So I just don't want to see AEW do that. I mean, you can have 10 titles if each story matters. That's all I'm saying.
I kind of agree with the Ecto guy here. He says, take me back to the days where winning the secondary title meant the higher ups were thinking about giving you a run with the main title. And that, yeah, I mean, 100% that goes back to my days of watching the WWF, where you had the Intercontinental Championship, which was the stepping stone to the World Heavyweight Championship, right? And I mean, I kind of miss those days, right? Because not everybody needs a championship. Okay. And
no.
I think one of the best names that I can throw out there to really solidify that point is my friend Aurelian Smith Jr. or Jake the Snake Roberts. Okay, Jake the Snake Roberts, it household name. Okay, like no doubt about it. You talk to anybody that's a little bit older and you say Jake the Snake Roberts, they know who you're talking about. Jake, the name Jake the Snake Roberts is up on the level of Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. But he never held that World Heavyweight Championship, and he didn't need to.
But how cool would it have been if he did?
It would have been cool, right? It definitely would have been. But I love the fact that he didn't need to hold a championship, whether it was as a champion or as a trophy placeholder. He didn't have to be able to still have the notoriety and recognition, right? And you're right. I mean, and this doesn't necessarily just have to be about AEW and the championships. I only use that graphic because AEW just recently introduced the All-Atlantic Championship,
and they
right?
just so. And of course it's bloated because they have the ROH. I think ultimately once ROH becomes hopefully its own thing, its own night, its own show, its own kind of roster, if you will, I think some of that will shake out where it doesn't feel, because right now, it does feel like everybody's got a title. And now you've got an interim AEW title in the mix, which we talked about on Thursday on Beards, definitely clouds the, not, I don't want to say the prestige, but it just puts this cloud of like, it's not as important until Punk comes back.
Right.
Because even Wardlow's coming out and saying like, well, I don't want the interim, I want Punk. Well, you just crapped on the interim title, whoever holds it, which will be Mox or Tanahashi coming up here in a couple of weeks. But I digress. I mean, I see what you're saying. I did like it back in the day where, like Ecto Guy said, that IC title, that meant that was who's next, Rock, Triple H. You know, you just knew one of those was destined to take that next step up. Again, it's all going to depend on how Tony Khan, especially on the AEW side, navigates this, because he knows all the criticisms. He's a fan. He pays attention. He grew up watching the product. So far, he's been able to prove the haters wrong and make it make sense. Here, if you're going to keep introducing belts, you better have some storylines backed up to make these things feel important.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm getting at right now as well with this, is that no matter the company right now, no matter the company, whether it is WWE, AEW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, when it starts back up, NWA even, it just doesn't feel like there is any prestige put on to the championships anymore, which really sucks because they're introducing new championships, but they're not having proper stories to go along with them to make them actually mean something, right? Like they're okay. AEW right now, I do have to say they're doing an okay job with the TBS championship, having it on Jade Cargill, having that story with her being, you know, undefeated, being, you know, it's that bitch show. Everything is working out really great. Cut the shit, Tony. Everything is working perfectly, right, for that. So I look at that championship and I go, that is a champion and a championship, because there's stuff revolving around it that's making me interested in it.
And Jade's ready. Like, we're ready to see her move up.
We definitely are.
Yeah.
Now, will she be able to, if she moves up and, let's say, takes over and wins the AEW Women's Championship, will that same prestige follow? Or is this going to be, you know what I mean? Like, it's really hard because it's
just boss is in the house.
Yep.
Jade
popping in.
Joe the goat. Jade has made the TBS title. She's the first. She's the only one to hold it. So there's not much to base it off of for there. But I mean, it's going to be hard to follow up. They better have, because she's put the stamp on it that that's her title. So yeah, it's just one of those things where the title doesn't necessarily make the wrestler. The wrestler can also make the title. It's just they've got to figure out ways to make it matter. As long as it matters and it's important, and you don't do things where you introduce titles just to introduce titles, and then we never see those people. And I'm gonna say it, they're handcuffed with the 3 hours of TV. It is tough, but that's their own fault. Doing things on Dark and Dark Elevation, that's cool, but that's something too. Like, they need to make those more appointment viewings and treat those like bigger shows then too. If you're going to put title matches on there, they need to matter. You need to have some title changes on there, something. I'm going to let them figure it out in AEW. They got a lot going on with those belts. I don't know how they do it. But I mean, we saw at the beginning of the company when they only had the two, it was like you had like 10, 12, 15 guys that you're just like, they're not really doing anything. These stories don't mean anything. I'd like to see. But now that we've got all these belts, we're kind of like, wait a minute. So it's us.
Right.
Wrestling.
And, you know, and that's true, too. Like totally on that flip side as well. Right. Like, it's a really weird and difficult situation to kind of go through and get over. And especially being an old school.
Yeah. Remember everybody fan, complaining right? that Kenny Omega hadn't won any gold in his first year in AEW? Yeah,
which it's bullshit that that's what I've been complaining about that.
But like, then when they put the title on him, they're like, oh, look at all these other guys that should have it. But Kenny's, it's like
right.
now that we're giving him a belt. I'm going to give AEW the benefit of the doubt. Don't go. And I will. I'll say the WWE has a bunch of titles and they don't do anything with them of any. Like, there's the IC title was like our favorite title growing up, the workhorse title. Now,
right?
Like, I know Gunther has it now. We'll see what they do. But that Ricochet run, they didn't do anything with him. The US title and the IC title don't get defended on pay-per-views. Like, what are we doing here?
Right. And personally, I think that those titles should be amalgamated as well. Yeah. Do we really need the US title? No, I don't think we do. Stick with just the Intercontinental Championship. That, you know, Intercontinental means it can be defended absolutely anywhere. It can be anywhere. It's Intercontinental, any of the continents.
Right.
Right. So keep that and start to build the prestige back of that. And I mean, maybe you can tell me who is even the US champ right now?
Theory. And the only reason I know that is because Cena just called him out. I think he's going to end up wrestling John Cena. But no, I mean, there's no prestige behind it. And then, like I said, what's going on? And Impact, they have a few titles too. I mean, ultimately, I think with AEW, like, this should be it. This is the number. And I'm not going to count the Owen until they recognize him as titles. I'm not going to count the Owens. I'm not going to count the FTW title, like, until they actually put them on the page as recognized titles. Those are just gimmick things, you know, like you said, like the $1 million man. So I'm not going to crap on those three. I know that giving them belts, it was easy. Like, I mean, shoot, they gave Braun Strowman the greatest Royal Rumble title belt at the Saudi show.
Right.
He never defended that thing. Is he still the champion? I don't know. You tell me.
Right. It's just unfortunate that they seem to be taking something that should have such prestige around it and really just treating it as a trophy. And like you said, even with Braun Strowman there, right? Like, giving him that championship, like, it's just a trophy at that point, right?
Yeah. Well, they didn't do anything with the All Atlantic. They didn't do anything. They just popped it on the show and was like, hey, by the way, this match is for a tournament we didn't announce, which that's cool and all, that keeps you like on your toes, but it says to me that you should have built that thing up. I got it to be like, I don't know.
Go back to a day where you could actually take Parrish. What up, my friend? I see that comment there, Parrish. Love you, man. Go back to a day where, like, you kind of have, so I've talked about it before with Razor Ramon, right? Like you had that build up, right? You had those vignettes with Razor Ramon. You can do the same effing thing with a championship and a tournament. Build vignettes, show a little just glimmer of this championship, and you're gonna have people on the internet watching this thing on YouTube 1,000 times to then pause it right at the exact moment where they can see something from this and make their own deductions from what they're seeing and leave them wanting more, going, what the hell is this now? Right? Like, simple small things like that really don't take very much time, especially for graphic designers who, let's face it, Tony Khan has enough money that he would be able to hire a good graphic artist to be able to do something like that. And I think that that's something for myself anyways that is really lost in the business right now for myself, is that there seems to be no prestige on the championships and that they're just simply trophies.
Yeah. That's where it comes down to. You got to make them feel important. Like, you got to make cruiserweight titles matter and things of that nature, get stories behind them and give those people creative freedoms to make them matter. And then,
right.
Cause I mean, Enzo Amore is, when they had the cruiserweight title, was the last time the cruiserweight title was defended in the main event of a Raw.
Right.
Now, we don't look at Enzo as any type of skilled, like, you know, Bret Hart in the ring, if you will. But like, right. I'm just saying, like, the story they were telling with him and Pac, which was, you know, Neville at the time, was so good that it main evented a Raw, which you didn't see. You don't see those types of things. So little undercard titles can matter if the story's told right. I know that's like there's probably a shit ton of better examples, but
that's a great one.
That was the first one that popped into my head, is like a low card title that nobody really cared about that made a big deal. It made a bigger impact. I want to see more, like more better stories. And if you're going to have titles, I think Parrish is right. Yeah. More number one contendership matches, build people up. Because what's going on, I think, a lot right now, and I think AEW is falling into the trap too, is they are just plug and play, especially in that women's division. It's like once a week, we just have a new contender all of a sudden, and they're not building anything and building and building on it. And they're doing that in the WWE with some of these titles. It's like, no, build some of these undercard stories, have it make sense, make it mean something, and then these titles will fall into place and we won't be in like, oh crap, there's too many titles. We're going to be like, oh shit, the Intercontinental Championship tonight is going to be awesome when it's defended.
Exactly. Parrish coming in. I think we'll end it off here as well. Parrish coming in saying, titles in wrestling are just as important as gifts given out at the Oprah Winfrey Show. There you have it, Parrish. That is the graphic that I came up with for this show here today. Just real interesting. Pluggo, tell people where they can find you on the socials and on any shows that you're doing within or outside of Love Wrestling.
Oh, well, you could find me at Pluggo_on the Twitter machine, at Pluggo on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I do a little show here on Wednesdays, the All Elite Sidecast with Astrid and JPJ. We sit down, we watch AEW and just kind of react to it real time and just kind of shoot the shit and have a little fun. Thursdays, flagship show Between Two Beards, me and JPJ always doing our thing. Thursday nights, talking about wrestling, anything that comes up. And then I pop in here every once in a while and talk Carl's ear off, probably longer than he expected. So I appreciate you, Carl, for letting me do that. Much love, sir. This was a fun time.
Awesome. I'm so happy that you decided come on as well. I am super happy with that. Everyone can follow me on the Twitter machine at K Carafell is my personal, or follow the show's socials on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TB Talk Pod. Go back and re-listen to this and check out all of those sponsors that are there, whether it's RK Athletics, Collar and Elbow Brand, where if you use the promo code JK Podcast, you are going to get yourself 10% off your entire purchase. Manscaped, where you get 20% off when using the code Love Wrestling, plus free worldwide shipping. And don't forget, if you were looking for some Turnbuckle Talk merchandise or any merchandise from Turnbuckle Studios found over on YouTube, check out carlcarafel.redbubble.com. For Pluggo and myself, Carl Carafel, this has been an absolutely amazing episode. And remember, everybody, this world's a scary place. So take care of each other.